The Word of God gives us the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find that three of the Gospels out of the four give us that account. Mark's Gospel does not tell us about the birth of Christ, because Mark is emphasizing the ministry of Christ as the servant. And the emphasis of Mark's Gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry, going here, there, and yonder, ministering to the spiritual and the physical needs of the people. Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel give us that detailed report, an account of the birth of Christ. John's Gospel, believe it or not, he sums it all up in one verse. Because in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, this is what John says concerning the birth of Christ. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And yet isn't it amazing, in that one little verse, it summarizes the great doctrine of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When we come to the story of the birth of Christ, it's a season of joy. And it ought to bring to our hearts real joy, because not only that Christ came into this world, but why he came. And we're going to look at that this evening. In the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, we find that Mary was spoken to by Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, or the archangel. And Gabriel told her that she was going to bear a son, and his name would be called Jesus. Also, she was told that her cousin Elizabeth was great with child. Now, Elizabeth was old in age, and so therefore it was a miracle too. And whenever Mary hears this, and she hears about her own situation, immediately Mary makes haste to go to her cousin Elizabeth and to Zacharias. And whenever she comes in to meet Elizabeth, and she delivers the news that's on her heart, the Bible tells us, whenever that happened, "And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ear," says Elizabeth, "the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And of course, that babe was called John the Baptist. And the babe leaped for joy, even at the mention of the coming of Christ. Whenever Mary heard that from Elizabeth, in Luke's Gospel chapter 1, she said in verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And so once again, this news of the birth of Christ, about the Savior coming into the world, brings great joy. When you come to the second chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, you'll also find that, because whenever the angel appeared there in the heavens when the shepherds were out in the field, and we read about it tonight, we find that whenever the angel appeared, the angel declared, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And so the great joy is about the birth of the Savior, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, and the Lord Jesus in his salvation power brings joy. Remember the little chorus you guys used to sing when I was a child? If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And so therefore the announcement was one of joy. And then we'd be fine whenever the shepherds believed what they were told, whenever the angels had disappeared because a multitude of the heavenly host appeared, and they started to sing in joy, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And then they disappeared. The shepherd said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us. And whenever the shepherds came to where Mary and Joseph was, and the little babe lying there in a manger, remember the little babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and swaddling clothes were actual fact just little pieces, thin pieces of cloth. Do you know what it was used for? Those pieces of cloth was used at the burial of a person. They wound them round the dead body. And yet here is Mary. And she winds her child, that little body, with the little pieces of cloth, swaddling clothes that would be used for a dead body. Why, friend? Because that's why he came. He came to die. He came to die, as we will see, to go to the cross of Calvary and there to shed his precious blood that you and I might in his death have eternal life and never perish. It's a message of joy, glory to God in the highest. And whenever the shepherds saw this, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. They went home rejoicing. They were filled with joy. Let me ask you this question tonight. Why ought Christmas be a time of celebration and joy as we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's the true meaning of Christmas. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And so therefore, why ought we to be joyful? Why ought to mankind? Because the message was, unto you is born this day a Savior. Yes, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Humanity! Why? Why would humanity be filled with his joy, good tidings? Why? Well, I think there's three things. Why? Because first of all, he was made like us. This little babe lying in a manger, friend, was like us. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Never we think of God. Sometimes people in their imagination think of someone distant, a way that is a way so far from humanity, just sits there. Listen, the Bible says the Word, that's God the Son, was made flesh, just like you and me. He's not a distant God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And whenever those shepherds looked into that little cradle, there was the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a visible human body. Just like you or me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means, thought it not something to be grasped after. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Yes, in the likeness of man. Oh, wonder of wonders. How can it be? Isaiah the prophet, away 700 years before Christ came into this world, said this in the chapter 9, "Unto us a child is born." Now listen to the words carefully. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." No, it didn't say, "Unto us a son is born, and unto us a child is given." No, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see, the child was born. That's his humanity. The son is given because God gave his son. That's his deity. And there we see the dual natures of Jesus Christ. He is the God-man, Christ Jesus. You notice it didn't say Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 14. Jesus became flesh. Didn't say that. It says the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So why did it not say, Jesus became flesh? Listen, friend. Jesus was the name given to him after his incarnation, not before. Yes, Mary was told he would be called Jesus. And Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." But he was not called Jesus until after the incarnation, after his birth. But as the Word became flesh, God became flesh. Because the Word was before time, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. You say to me, what does it mean to us? Why is it important that Jesus was made flesh, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? As we think of his humanity, God revealed himself to us, reminding us how important it was to God that we would know him through his Son. He was made like us. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You know what that reminds me? He was made flesh. Yes, he became like you and me. And he knows what we're going through. I know in this congregation tonight, and in the wider family of the congregation, there are many people hurting. There are many people, let me tell you, that feel that nobody cares. And yet it's not true. For our God knows what we're going through. Isaiah the prophet said, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." The Lord Jesus Christ was born as a little babe. And he grew through childhood into manhood. He was weary just like you and me. Remember, sat down by Jacob's well. He was tired. He was thirsty. He felt pain. He suffered just like you and me. Yes, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And as I think of the birth of Christ, the Word became flesh. Just like you. He knows your pain. And then secondly, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ, was he like you and me, but the Bible says he dwelt among us. That word dwelt means he pitched his tent, or he tabernacled among us. And whenever the prophet of Isaiah talked about this, it said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He dwelt among us. Are you heavy laden tonight? Are you burdened with care? What does he say? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you facing struggles? Are you discouraged? Are you overwhelmed? The psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, get me to the rock. Who is the rock? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, that rock is Christ. And when my heart is overwhelmed, and I don't know where to go or what to do, just lead me to the rock. Lead me to Christ, who is higher than I. Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm glad tonight that he's with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, here in Londonderry tonight. God with us. He's with us. We are here gathered in his presence. Whenever I sign a Bible, people ask me to sign their Bible, I always write Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And it's this: let your conversation... Now, the word conversation is not simply the words of your lips. It means the manner of your life. Let your life, your manner of living, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said. How can I be content with such things as I have? For he has said. Listen to this. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And when my heart is broken, he's with me. He never leaves me. He's promised never to leave me. He has promised never to forsake me. And because that is true, then verse number 6 is, in the light of that, praise God, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Because God is control of my life. Child of God, do you realize that tonight? God with us. His name, Emmanuel. God with us. I was 8 years of age when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And that night I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and with his precious blood cleanse me from my sin. And to he promised that night, he says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. There's been many a dark passage in the journey. There's been many a high hill to climb. There's many a deep valley that I've got to walk in. But praise God, I've never walked up that mountain alone. I've never descended into that valley alone. Let me tell you, whenever you're saved, Jesus says, I will never leave thee. So what a friend, that's what Joseph Scriven wrote. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer, to know He's with me tonight. He never leaves me. I don't have to beg Him to come, because He's with me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah, this is what the Lord said. Fear thou not. You have nothing to be afraid of. Why? For I am with thee. I'm with thee. Friend, that's the message of Christmas. That's why it's a message of joy. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world and is my Savior. And He never leaves me. And He never forsakes me. I'm never alone. Even through the darkest night. He says, fear not. Yes. Because not only has He promised to be with us, but He says this, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm sure in your life as well as mine, there are things that I don't understand. There are passages in your life, friend, and you wonder why. Why does God take you through that? One of my loved ones, over this past 6 years, I shall a disease that they've got no cure. And some people say to her, why? You love Jesus. You love the Lord. You're seeking to do a work for Jesus. Why does God allow you to go through? Friend, I don't understand things. But this I do know. He has said, be not dismayed. Why? I am thy God. What that means? God in control. God's sovereign. And when I cannot understand why, and at times through my tears I cannot see His face, I can always trust His heart. For He said, be not dismayed. Even when you don't understand, I'm thy God. And then He said this, I will strengthen thee. He said, I will help thee. He says, I'll uphold thee. I sing a wee hymn, through it all I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I thank Him for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms that He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, sure, I'd never know that Christ could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God can do. But through it all, I can trust in Jesus. Why? He says, I'll strengthen thee. And I'll help thee. And I'll uphold thee. With the right hand of my righteousness. Yes. God with us. When I went into the ministry, God gave me that night that I was accepted in the ministry of the Free Church a promise in Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Then he said this, thou art mine. Isn't that lovely? Here's the sovereign God of heaven, friend, that made everything. And yet God says this, thou art mine. You're mine. Dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine. Friend, tonight, do you know what I'm talking about? Are you his child? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you the assurance that he has said unto you, I will never leave thee? Yes, I'm talking to you, my child. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. God with us. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That was his promise away, well over 50 years ago. I've come back to it many times since. I've laid rest of my head upon the pillow of his word. He says, fear not, for when you pass through the waters, I'm with you. God with us. Do you remember what David said in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Ah, yes, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Goes on, and then he says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, friend? Why did David say that? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God with us. That's why the wee hymn says, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. And I say before God, friend, I don't understand how men and women can live in this world of so much tragedy and so much sorrow and so much uncertainty. Death's on every hand. And God's word says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, before Christmas, there'll be many a person we'll never see it. And with just a few days to go, many a family will be plunged into sorrow, many an empty chair before Christmas Day. Family in Macrofelt, a father was buried on Thursday, and his son died on Saturday. Same week. But that's them. No, friend. That could be us. This week. But I ask you a question. Have you the assurance? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death this week, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. And the message of Christmas is not only he was made like us. But he dwells with us. And lastly, why did he come? To die for us. Yes, he came to die. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. As I said, even at his birth, his mother wrapped him in little grave cloths. She had nothing else. She didn't know the significance. But that's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and me. And to do that, he had to die. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That's the price. The penalty of sin. And God sent his Son from the glories of heaven down into the sin cursing of time. Listen. And he became man and dwelt among us, that he might go to Calvary and die for us to pay the price for sin. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusteth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, tonight in Londonderry, you don't have to die in your sin. Because one day, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hung on Calvary to die for your sin. He says, come. Come to me. Call upon me. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know what Christmas will bring, friend. But this I do know. The message of Christmas, the reason for the season, is that Christ, Jesus, came into this world to save sinners. And he's willing to save you as he saved me. He was made flesh. Just like us. And dwelt among us, and praise God, he says, God with us. And he died for us. That's the story of Christmas. Not Santa Claus. It's Jesus. He's the reason for the season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. There's one tonight in the service, and they've never known that peace and that joy within their hearts. They've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, that tonight, Lord, they might experience the joy of sins forgiven, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do thank God's servant for that word this evening. We trust and pray it'll find a resting place, even if in your heart tonight. We turn, please, to hymn 84 as we close. Hymn 84 on the page 209. Jesus, my Saviour, to whom Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, what is wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me, for me. We'll stand together, please, as we sing this hymn. Hymn 84 on the page 209. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in thy presence this evening. Surely, Lord, we have to say it is good to have been here. Lord, it has been profitable for our souls this evening to hear thy word faithfully proclaimed once again. Lord, we pray that you will take the message and you will temper it and thou will use it, Lord, for the furtherance of thy kingdom. Lord, work in hearts this evening, we ask of thee. We pray for those in the meeting with here present, Lord, thou will please to bless each soul, Lord, and speak to needy hearts. We think of those who watch online. Lord, we don't see their faces. We know nothing of them, Lord, but tonight, Lord, thou knowest all about them. And thou knowest the heart, Lord. And we pray even through our brother's message, Lord, that thou'll be pleased to speak to needy souls and bring them to that place where they'll understand what it is to know that Christ loves them and cares for them and has died for them and is willing to save all who come unto him. So, Father, bless us. Bless the word to each heart, Lord. We thank you for this time. Bless each soul, God, with us. So, Lord, we just pray for the good things that have been provided for us. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to eat and drink to thy glory. And then, Lord, at the end of the night, Lord, bring us to our homes in safety and keep thy hand upon us for good. We pray and ask it all in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Our brother and herself will go to the door, but please remain behind for a cup of tea. We'd love to see you stay.